Out front, if you did not notice, there's a couple of new trophies out there. We've had one of them a little bit, but have not set it out. We have the archery trophy out there from the tournament that our kids did. And then yesterday, our baseball team was playing in the state final, and we got beat, but we got there. And so that was good to be that far along. And the school that we played yesterday, they had a team out on the field, and they had two teams in the dugout waiting to play whenever they could. And got to talking to them. They have over 600 in their school. And so here we are, 125, 130, going against a school with 600. And they have quite a few to choose from than we do. But we played good, did well. And sometimes you do that and still get beat by a better team. And that's not a problem when they're better than you. It's bad to get beat when they're not better than you. That's the heartache. And we've had some of those days too. But had a good day yesterday. I was playing at Georgetown College in Georgetown, Kentucky. And had one boy got hit by baseball. Did a little bit of damage on his face. Fractured this bone right under his eye. And of all people, it was Will. And Will has a real good spirit about him. And it didn't take him long to hit the ground, buddy. When that ball hit him, it was over. And had taken emergency room, and they may have to do surgery. He came home yesterday, but have to wait for the swelling to go down. So you pray for Will Hunter, and pray the Lord to be with him. And really, Will never did stop smiling. And a few times he was hurting pretty bad. And I'm going to tell it on him when he comes back to school. He really got happy when they gave him that pain medication. He probably will not remember everything that he was talking about, but he was very talkative and very happy. And he looked, he said, "Brother R, I sure hope they send me home with some of this medicine." So I said, "Well, they may and they may not." But he was hit pretty hard right on that cheekbone, and so you pray for him. But all in all, had a good time and enjoyed being with the kids for a little time was able to be there. Most time spent in the emergency room, but glad to be there for them. This morning, if you would, turn in your Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter number 5. Romans chapter 5, we're going to read three different passages. And when we get through reading, you'll know at least the gist of the message, because every one of the passages will be dealing with the same thing. And so Romans chapter 5, and we'll read verse 20 and verse number 21. Romans chapter 5, verse 20 and 21. "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That is, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness into eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." Verse number 20 says that law, as it entered in, it was made known. The offense was seemingly much more because we had a knowledge of that by the law, but then we find that grace has abounded over that sin. Now turn with me to the book of James, chapter number 4, and just one verse here, verse number 6. James chapter 4 and verse number 6. The scripture here in this passage, James is writing, and he says, "But he," speaking of God, "but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." So we find here that we have the grace of God has been given. He giveth more grace. Now, if you would, take and turn back to the Gospel of John, John chapter number 1. John chapter number 1 and verse number 16. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. Strange verse of Scripture. Those last three words there, grace for grace. We find that he has abundantly given us grace. Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Later on, the Apostle Paul writes and asks the question that someone might suggest that because grace would abound more than sin, therefore we maybe ought to sin more so grace could abound more. And he says, God forbid for that kind of thinking. The thought here there in Romans is that whatever we sin, wherever we find our lives, wherever we find ourselves, and sin abounds in all of our lives, I guarantee you this morning you can already recall some things that you've either said, done, or thought this morning that would be classified in the Word of God as sin. We are sinners by nature, but more than that, we are sinners by choice. But where grace comes in effect is when sin abounds in our life. And wherever that sin might be, God has more grace to cover that, and we say, thank the Lord for that. I'm glad that sin cannot overtake the child of God and be more sin than there is grace, because God has abundantly given us grace to fight the battle. I don't know, probably all of us in here have at some time or another thought that the battle is too hard, but we must continue on. Sometimes we think about how the struggle is very great upon us, but we realize that we just have to serve and go on in the work of the Lord. The load might be too heavy. We might feel too weak. Our enemies may seem to be too strong and our faith too small, but we must go on. And as God gives us strength to do that, He is supplying to us grace for grace. He is giving us more abundant grace than we'd ever thought need of. This unusual phrase, and of His fullness have we received grace for grace. What does it mean? It just simply means God has heaped upon us grace, but then when we need more, He gives us more grace. He giveth more grace. He giveth more understanding to our hearts and helps us in those things of life. When we got saved, it doesn't take long to figure out that it took the grace of God to save us. And we'll deal with that in a few minutes. And we fail so many times and we fall short of God's wonderful glory. And sometimes we'd like to run out and just hide somewhere because of our backslidden condition that we find ourselves in. But I'm glad the Lord uses His Word. I'm glad He uses the message of the Word of God to make us to realize that wherever we are, He is there with more grace than what we can offer our sins. He has forgiven us. We find that we find the hope, the principle of this all throughout the New Testament. It is a reversal of what fallen man has to offer. This world out here before us has nothing to offer us as a child of God because it has nothing in order to give to us the wonders of the Lord. We cannot comprehend, we cannot even understand all the things that's involved in that little word called grace. There have been multiple songs written about grace. There have been numerous messages continually preached upon that word grace. There are churches that are named Grace. We are one of those. There are people that talk about the grace of the Lord continually in their life. And it's just simply what God has wrought in us, what God has done for us that we did not deserve, that we did not work for, we could not obtain it, but He, in His mercy, He supplied to us the ability that one day we could go to heaven to be with Him. We find in the Scripture that it is unsearchable. It's past finding out. One song, of course, the old song Amazing Grace is given to us. And the story behind that is a great story of how God was merciful to the man that wrote that. And then we have another song, The Only Word for Grace is Amazing. And there have been multiple things written and spoken and given upon that subject of grace. And it's from Genesis to Revelation in the Word of God that God is a God that is full of grace, and He desires to abundantly put it upon us and shower us with His grace. It is the reason that God would save sinners such as you and I. The Lord did not look upon us and say, I think you'll be a pretty good fellow, or she'll be a pretty good lady, so I believe I'll give her my grace. God doesn't see any of that in our lives, because the Scripture very clearly tells us that our sins are so fallen to the mercy and the attributes of the Lord that one day He had to hide His face from that as Jesus was dying on the cross of Calvary, and He darkened the sky as Jesus was making atonement or payment for our sins. And so God didn't look at this guy. He didn't look at you as a lady or man. He didn't say, well, I think they'll do okay and I'll just save them. No, when God looked at me and when God looked at you, He saw the same thing. A man, a woman, a boy, a girl, full of sin and wretchedness in their heart and nature to go against God. It is the nature of mankind to do what mankind is doing now. It ought not to shock us when we see all the hideous things that are taking place in the world, because that's just the nature of people without God. And we see it more abundantly shown to us over and over again. We, because we are sinners by nature, we make choices that are sinful choices. We that are sinners by nature and choose things that are wrong, then therefore we deserve to die and go to hell without God. But with His help and with His love, thank God He saves old sinners. Thank God He saves people like you and I. It is help for the helpless. Grace is hope for the hopeless. It is the healing for the wounded and the scarred. It is the balm for those that are broken. He's the balm of Gilead, and He is all that you need. I want to think this morning upon the subject, grace is all that we need. Grace abundantly given to us is all that we must have in our life. He has given us grace for grace. He has abundantly showered upon us His mercy and His love. In John chapter 1, as we read verse number 16, but you also look in verse 17, he says, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Moses was the instrument that God used as they went up Mount Sinai, and God wrote the tabernacle, the tables of stones of the Ten Commandments. And we find that God gave them to Moses. He presented them to the children of Israel, and he got upset and ill with those folks, and he broke the tables of stone just like they had broken the law of God. And so God gave to Moses the law, but He gives to us grace by Jesus Christ. We don't have grace by our works. We don't have grace by our desires. We have grace because it came through Jesus Christ. I'm going to give you some scriptures. We're not going to turn to them, but I'll just quote some things out of them. In Acts chapter number 4 and verse number 33, the Bible says that grace is a great grace. It's not just great, but thank God, it's a great grace. In Acts chapter 13, verse 43, tells us that we are to continue in grace. We live because of the grace of the Lord. Acts chapter 14, verse 3 says that we are to give testimony of that grace. We ought to be willing to tell. We ought to be willing to share. We ought to be willing to give people what God's done for us. Acts chapter 15, verse number 11, tells us that we believe through grace or because of grace. And in Acts chapter 20, verse number 32, the Bible says we are built up by grace. Everything in our life this morning, everything around us as a believer is associated with this thing of grace. We read our first passage there in Romans chapter number 5. And you'll find the whole book of Romans is a book of the grace of God. In Romans chapter 1, verse 5, we find we receive grace because of our obedience and because of His obedience. In Romans chapter 3 and verse number 24, the Scripture says we are justified by grace. That means we've been made free, means we've been made perfect and pure in the sight of God by the grace of the Lord. In Romans chapter 5, verse 2 tells us that we have access to God because of His grace. Romans chapter 5, verse 17 says that we have an abundance of grace that we read. Romans chapter 5, verse 21 says that grace can reign in our lives because and for righteousness. So this morning, probably one of the most important things in the life of a child of God is the beginning grace of salvation that continues through until we get home to be with the Lord. There's a lot of things the Lord's blessed us with. There are a lot of things that He has showered upon us. I believe one of the greatest, if not the greatest thing and commodity that we have as a Christian is this little five-letter word called grace. This word that means so much for us. The Apostle Paul writes these words, "But by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain." He writes in another book in 2 Corinthians, he says, "For we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich." Paul continues on in chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound unto every good work." Paul is very explicitly telling us that we live and survive and we go to heaven because of what? The grace of God. His grace upon us. He says God is able. Thank the Lord this morning that God is able to supply and to give to us. He's able to make all grace abound. And then he says, always having all sufficiency in all things. Everything you have this morning, everything you'll have tomorrow, everything that you deal with in your life is because God has made it possible for you to have that, and it's by His grace. Paul goes on in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He says His grace is sufficient. We know that story very well, where Paul prayed that the Lord would take away that thorn in his flesh. And God wouldn't do that, but God gave him one message that made him continue on in the work of the Lord. Paul, he understood that whatever came his way, God had the sufficiency for him to continue on. My grace is sufficient. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of His grace." You could go on and on and on. It's almost an unending story. It's an unending many, many passages that give us some things about the grace of the Lord. Hebrews 4 says, "Let us come boldly to the throne of God," which is called the throne of grace. He tells us in Hebrews 13:9 that this grace establishes us. And 1 Peter 1:2 says, "Our grace is continually multiplied." And so we find that as a believer, as a Christian, we are surrounded, we are engulfed, we are overtaken by this one little word that so many times people do not respond very well to, and it is this word called grace. There is enough grace this morning, and I can say this, and you as a Christian can testify to this, that there is enough grace to save a sinner. Praise the Lord this morning. When the Lord looked upon me as a young boy, He saw a wretched sinner. When God looked upon you maybe as a young person, God saw a wretched sinner. When God looks upon an individual that's in their middle age and they have not come to know the Lord, He still looks upon them as a wretched sinner. And if God is merciful to an individual till they live to be an older lady or an older gentleman, and he looks upon them, he still sees them as a wretched sinner, no matter what good works they may have accomplished, what good things they may have done. God looks at us through righteous eyes, and he sees us as sinners. But guess what? There's enough grace to save every individual that would call upon him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. It is not so tied together that nobody can come in except just a certain few. Thank God it is for all. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It will reach from the worst to the best as far as we're concerned. But when God looks upon us, Isaiah said, all of our good things, all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. So it's pretty level ground. I'm glad the ground is level at the foot of the cross. And I'm glad that everyone comes to him comes the same way. Everyone that gets saved is saved the same way as an 8-year-old boy or a 78-year-old lady. It does not matter where we are in our life. It doesn't matter who we are. But thank God there is enough grace to satisfy the demands of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I will in no wise cast you out. I will in no wise turn my back upon you. And there's enough grace to save old sinners. There's enough to save the woman at the well. We can read that story as we have many times. There's enough to save the lady that was caught in the very act of adultery. And the Lord said, go and sin no more. There's enough grace for the man called Saul of Tarsus, who later became the Apostle Paul. Grace made him change and changed his life from a persecutor unto a preacher of the gospel. Only grace can do that. There's enough to take Peter, and you'll find that he cursed one day, and he did all the things that human flesh would do. Thank God, God saved Peter. Take your life, take my life. There's enough. From the poorest to the richest, from the most intelligent to the most simple-minded, there's enough grace to deliver us unto glory. There's enough grace in the manifold blessings of the Lord to take us from this life unto life. There's enough for power. There's enough for joy. There's enough for the wicked of this world to come and know the Lord Jesus Christ. His grace is sufficient. That song that I made mention of just a moment ago that saves old sinners. I am so glad that God saves old sinners. I'm thrilled and amazed that he sets them free. The biggest surprise in saving old sinners is that he would save an old sinner like me. Praise the Lord. We can look out in the world and we say Jesus died for the world, and he did. But I'll tell you what, when it becomes a personal occurrence in our life, thank God, he saves old sinners. There is enough grace. Grace stands alone. It doesn't need any help. And by the way, if you try to help it with something else, you destroy the effectiveness of grace. I was talking to someone, I don't know if it's the first part of this week or the last part of last week, and he was all hung up on this thing of you had to be baptized in order to go to heaven. And that's putting a crutch to grace, and you no longer have grace. I'm glad this morning that there's not one fleshly thing in my life that I can do in order to obtain the grace of God other than he smiling upon me, touching my heart, and me believing what he said is true. You can put grace with works, you no longer have grace. You put grace with water, you no longer have grace. You put grace with anything, church membership, whatever you want to put with that, and somebody says, well, you got to do this, 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 you done gone too far. Because it's the grace of God that brings man unto the repentant heart that he must have in order to go to heaven. So, my friend, grace is enough to save sinners. Secondly, grace is enough to take care of all of us that are failures. Who of us in here this morning would say and be so naive to say, I've never failed? We have all failed. We have failed in our personal life. We have failed in our spiritual life. Sometimes we fail in our financial life. We are failures by nature because our nature brings us down. And so we find there's enough grace to lift up anyone that has fallen in their life. I'm sure we would all be willing to testify that I wish I had never failed. I wish I'd have never made that choice. Or I wish I'd have never made that mistake. I wish I'd have never sinned that sin. That's a failure in life. Oh, but thank God this morning He's there and says, come to me all you that labor heavy laden, I'll give you rest. That's not just for the sinner. Thank God that's for the saint. How many times we've been burdened by things of life. I believe it is God's will for us to do right. I believe it is God's will that we are not to fail. But He knows that we are but flesh. And therefore He has given grace whereby we can fall upon Him and call upon Him. He satisfies the needs of our life. In the story of the prodigal son, we find this father that had two boys. One of them, really believed and really thought that God ought to keep His grace just for him and nobody else. That elder brother, he said, well, he's gone out and done all these things, and I've stayed here. Yeah, but while he stayed there, he was just as a bad sinner as that boy that had gone to the hog pen. Just because he dressed it up, just because he stayed home, just because he did everything his father told him to do at home, it didn't change his wicked heart, and his heart becomes very known in that parable that the Lord gives us. Too many of us are like him, I'm afraid. Too many times we let the devil keep us in the hog pen, but then our Father comes and He gives us grace, and He heaps it upon us. Well, I'm telling you what, it's all you need. Isn't it a good thing when the Lord cleanses you? Isn't it a good thing when you know that the Lord has forgiven you? You have something in your heart, something in your mind, something in your actions, your life some way, and you know it's not as it should be, and God convicts you through the Word of God, and He brings about a burden upon your heart. Isn't it a great feeling to know that the Lord says you're forgiven when we call upon His name and cry unto Him? That fallen boy there in the pig pen, he probably could never understand why the father would put a new robe upon him. But that just showed that God was giving him grace, or his father was showing him grace. Grace heaped upon him. He probably could never understand why his father would give him a ring on his finger and his hand was so dirty. And that's just our Father. That's just the grace of God. He could maybe never understand why they would have the fatted calf killed and a party to welcome him home. But his father would whisper to him, son, it's grace shown unto you. Well, I'm glad one day God showed me grace. I'm glad one day God delivered me from the hog pens of this world and the sin of the flesh and the wickedness of our lives and of our souls. And thank God He did put a robe upon us. It's called the robe of righteousness. He did put shoes on our feet. And we find it is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He did put a ring upon our finger that shows sonship, that we belong to Him. Don't listen to the screams of the devil, but listen to the whisper of the Father. And He says, it's grace upon grace. The blessing upon blessing. His grace heaped upon that young boy is nothing more than a typology of what one day He did for me and one day He did for you. He put all those things. And here this boy that stayed home, he sees that they're having a party. And his indignation rises. His anger comes up. And he says, why are you throwing him a party? I stayed home. You never gave me a party. You never killed a calf for me. You never did that. His pride rises up and shows that this young man probably didn't know anything about the grace of his father. He had only done. All he was concerned with is what I have done for my father, and now my father rejects me and takes this guy that's gone out and wasted his living. That's how an unregenerate person is. They're not thankful for those others that have the blessings of the Lord. Whatever burden we might have, I'm glad there's enough grace. Grace is enough. the Lord told the Apostle Paul, as we read a moment ago, his grace was sufficient. Things may not always be as we would like them to be. If I was to ask for a raise of hands this morning and ask you, are you 100% satisfied that things are the way you want them to be in your life? I doubt many hands would go up, if any. Our lives are not always the way we want them to be. Our attitudes are not always the way we wish they were. But I'm glad for whatever burden comes our way, grace is enough. Grace can supply. Maybe it's the poverty that overwhelms us. Maybe it's the pain and the anguish of our body. Maybe it's even death that's touched our families and our lives, and all those things bring about sorrow. But our God gives us grace, and it is supplied. Grace is enough to help. Brother Jay is going to go for a procedure on his heart. Grace is enough. Before the week is over, we may find that someone has left our family and have gone by the way of death. Grace is enough. Darling, grace will be enough when you go. I had one minor knee surgery. I can't imagine two complete replacements. But God never puts on us more than we can bear. And His grace is enough. I can't imagine when God looked upon this world, and the Bible says Jesus was as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world, before there ever was an earth, before God said, "Let there be light." Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, was a lamb slain in the mind of God. And it didn't take God by surprise that Adam and Eve sinned. It didn't take God by shock and awe that a few generations down the line that the whole world had gone away from God and there was only the righteousness of Noah, his wife, his sons, and their wives. That did not take God by shock. Because God, when He looked, He knew what was needed. So therefore, before the foundation of the world, before the world ever was here, before there was a star that twinkled in the sky, and before the heat of the sun ever hit anything, Jesus Christ was as a lamb slain. And that's why I can preach. That's why you can demand and declare to others that grace is enough. For He knew what it would be, yet He came. God has a plan and a purpose and a provision for our lives. Whatever that is, grace is enough. When God deals with people on certain issues of their life, I have heard them say, and I've had them tell to me, "I just don't think I can do it. I just don't think I can handle that." There are some things that people face that I read about and hear about that I think, I don't know if I could go through that or not. I hear of parents having to bury their children. I don't know if I could go through that or not. I know of those that have lost their grandchildren, and my, what a tragic loss that would be. To lose someone that's close and dear. But whatever place we find ourselves in the economy of God, grace is enough. I don't think I could do it. You don't think you could do it. But we've never been there for God to prove to us that we can do it. And if He can supply grace to others, He can supply grace to me. Before we see another sunrise, there may be tragedy in some life. And we might say, how in the world can anybody go through that? The only way that we can as a believer is by the grace of God. The greatest subject in all the Word of God for the believer is His grace. Grace calls us. Grace saves us. Grace sustains us. Grace provides for us. Grace helps us to leave this world. And when we get to heaven, we're going to say, all of grace is my story. All the way from earth to glory. Thank God this morning for the wonderful, wonderful commodity that we have as a believer. And it's just a five-letter word, G-R-A-C-E. Oh, and by the way, the number five in the Bible always represents grace. Thank God this morning for what he's done for us. More than that, thank God what he can do for us. We don't know yet. We have no idea what he can do for us in the future. We've not gone that way before, but he has. And so therefore he can supply every need, every particle of grace that's needed in our life. May we be encouraged from the thought that he does not leave me, he does not forsake me. He's always there. He will supply. Let's stand together this morning.